person called a pet store said, send me 30,000 cockroaches at once. Astonished, the clerk said, what in the world do you want with 30,000 cockroaches? The caller said, well, I'm moving out today, and my lease says I must leave the premises in exactly the same condition I found it. Yes. Have you got any news on him? Okay. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you've got all power and all anointing. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch Kathy. Lord, I ask you to touch her husband, touch her children. Lord, minister to them right now in a very powerful way. And Lord, I ask you, God, to lift him up and to strengthen him. Whatever's going on, Lord, you got this. And we trust you, God, that it's in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out. And we're just going to have a very simple. This, you could say this is the introduction. I've worked on this all week, and especially yesterday, all day yesterday between doing other stuff along the way. And it was like 10 o'clock last night when I finally finished this. This is so powerful to me, you know, especially knowing that this is Bethany's day, you know, that she left us and went to heaven. And so this really, and everybody in here has got somebody that has gone to heaven. Amen? It caused a lot of pain, but at the same time it causes joy because you know they're no longer hurting and they're in the presence of Almighty God. Stand for the reading of the word, and let's keep on remembering Kathy's family. God, please, we thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for making things possible, God, that he's safe and everything's okay. Just a car damage. And not even that either, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Get your Bible out to 1 Thessalonians. If you don't know where 1 Thessalonians is, it's right before 2 Thessalonians. Let me move this thing right along to fill in our cup. Here we go. You could say this is part one of a couple of, I'm not sure how far we're going to go with it, but it's very important that we learn to be thankful. And the reason I told that joke is, you know, a lot of people would rather have revenge than to be thankful. Amen? A lot of people would rather, look, I'm going to tell you something, you listen carefully. And I've heard this multiple times in the last couple weeks, especially since the election. And it's not just me. I've heard several people along the way say this. So I know it's God telling us this, is that my relationship with somebody is more important than me being right. Amen? And if we can keep that in our minds, it's amazing what God can do with us. Remember, our relationship with people, I was watching on TV where they were telling, some psychologist said, if your family members didn't vote like you, then don't spend the holidays with them. I heard it multiple times. I heard it. I couldn't believe it. And I'm saying is, our relationships are too important to let this stuff get in our way. I love these people. I love y'all. And I'm not letting anything ever happen if I can try my best to let it get in the way. And this is the same way with God and being able to thank God, because thanking God, no matter how it is, thanks. Giving is good, but thanksgiving is better. That's what Matthew Henry said. Living a life of thanksgiving, and if we could put a, I should have put part one up there, but this is so in-depth right now. This is very, very in-depth. The Bible says, let's just go ahead and go to 16. Matter of fact, I like 15 even better, starting there. See that none render evil for evil. That guy with the roaches was rendering evil for evil. See that none render evil for evil unto any man or person, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not this spirit. I'm going to put that in there because it's got a double thing there. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father, and I know, God, that you are working in our midst. I know, God, that you got your hands on us, and I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint in a very powerful, powerful way. And I ask you, God, to meet every need in everybody's life, especially Kathy's life right now with her husband and her family. And we thank you for life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. I wrote down there, stopped at 19. I was going to stop at 18, but I stopped at 19. Because we get all Pentecostal when we say, quench not the spirit and despise not prophecies. Well, I understand it's got a lot of Pentecostal to that, but at the same time, it's got another part about God's word and God's power. And me, what I just read God's word was I was prophesying to you right then. Amen? That's prophecy. Because that's God's word. And to quench the spirit is if you hold grudges. If you hold grudges, you learn not to be thankful, but instead you learn to hold grudges and you learn to get back at people and you got to be right. You're quenching the spirit. And if you quench the spirit, guess what? God is not going to be happy. I promise you. Amen? So, we just read that. Let's go ahead. And this is the introduction. The introduction, I suppose you could say. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Didn't say thank God for everything, but in all things give God thanks. There's a lot of things. Bethany being dead, I didn't thank God for her death and for her to have cancer, but I did thank God that he was with us through it all, and she's with God now. So you gotta get this thing in perspective, okay? And if anybody could love somebody no matter what, it was her. If there's been anybody that would not hold a grudge no matter what, bless her heart, and didn't always have to be right in any argument, it was Bethany. She showed me, actually I tell people all the time, she showed me what grace was. Her name could have been Bethany Grace, but she wanted to keep her middle name, Dawn. So we let her keep that middle name. And she's the one that picked Bethany out, which means house of joy. So again, without ceasing, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, and always in everything, give God thanks. Now, here it is again. I put it up there. I regularly say I'm trying to burn it in our minds. But here it is. Rejoice always, pray and continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now this is three very simple but very powerful directives. It's packed with profound implications. Matter of fact, this is probably one of the best ways if you could think of, if I was going to pick a verse to live by, this would be one I'd probably want to pick. Rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Not just in the time of prosperity and joy, but in all circumstances. Y'all say all. All circumstances. The good, the bad, the ugly. So important that this is the divine will of God for us. His blueprint for life. Live in the fullness of Christ Jesus. How many want to live in the fullness of Christ Jesus? And you don't want to quench the spirit. I can tell you one of the best ways is put right here. It's put right there. Don't be arguing with people. Don't be cut. You take care of folks. Don't return evil for evil. You rejoice always. You pray continually. You give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. And quench not the spirit. That is such a powerful, powerful thing. But although it's powerful, look at this. Does God really expect me to give thanks during hard times? Honestly, when God showed me about doing this for today, I believe he showed me, do this, I had forgotten that it was Bethany's heaven birthday. I didn't know that DC was going to pick some of the songs that he picked. So I know God is all in this. Does God really expect me to give thanks during the hard times. When you get that call that your husband's been in a wreck, you get that call that the doctor says, I need you to come back in my office. We found something on the x-rays. When your spouse says, I don't want to be your spouse anymore. When your child calls you from the detention center and says, Daddy, I just got locked up. Can you please come? That's hard stuff. And that's where the rubber meets the road. So does God really expect me to give him thanks when this stuff starts happening? Matter of fact, this is a challenging command. Anybody in here says this isn't challenging, then you adjust your halo. Because in the meantime, when I'm thanking God, I say, God, I'm thanking you, but I'm not loving this. So how can we give God thanks when all hell in our life is breaking loose? How can we rejoice when the times of sorrow are so powerful that they're yanking you down? How can I keep on praying to a God that my flesh is saying he's punishing me? He's letting this stuff happen because I didn't live right before him. Or how can I say I'm going to pray to a God when everything is falling all to pieces all around me? So that's the challenge. And I hope everybody in here already has accepted that challenge. And if you haven't, I hope you do. And I also pray that you up the ante on this. So now, I love this. I have listened to this. Y'all, I'm going to read it once. Y'all read it with me. I have learned to kiss the wave that slams me into the rock of ages. Wow. Y'all say that with me. I have learned to kiss the wave that slams me into the rock of ages. Wow. That's so deep. That is so full. That is so enriching. That if you stop and think about it, and stop and think about what God is saying there through Charles Spurgeon, is there's times where I get hit so hard, I'm slammed. But when I'm being slammed by what's going on around me, it throws me into the rock of ages, into Jesus' arms. And I eventually will thank him for it. I've learned to kiss the wave that slams me. That wave can be a relationship. That wave can be your health. That wave can be your job. That wave can be your kids, your family. When that wave takes you, how many's ever been out of Atlantic Beach or out there by the ocean, and you're going to get out there and you're going to try to show all the things you can do, and then that wave comes and knocks you down? It drags you. It's hurting because you're running against rocks, but it don't matter. It still just drags you. Sometimes that's how life treats us. So this quote encapsulates the entirety of this message. Amen? The entirety of our hope. It speaks of thankfulness that transcends our circumstances. Rejoicing that's born out of trials. A prayer attitude that remains unshaken by the storms of life. Wow. Let me ask you a question. You ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't got to answer me. What does it take to shake your faith? What does it take to remove the thanksgiving out of your mouth? What does it take for you to doubt that God's even holding on to you anymore? Thanksgiving can help you get beyond that and hold on no matter what. So, thank you, God, for everything in my life. That's all we just started with. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Don't look at anybody and say he's talking about you. Good, bad, and the ugly. He's talking about you now. Some were blessings, and some were lessons. I thank God for the lessons that he's taught me over the years, too. When you're in the midst of trials, it can be very challenging to maintain that heart of thankfulness. In the valley, in hardships, in loss, in disappointment, where the real rubber meets the road. I was listening to a televangelist one day, and they were talking about being up in the midnight hour praying, or being up going through trials that would put you on your knees. And they said, well, God's not going to allow you to get through any trouble, just he's going to have you during the night have to pray. But other than that, you're not going to be going through anything. What? And I listened just a little further just to hear what they had to say. And the more I heard them talk, the more I said, either they're reading from a book I've never read before, or they've just got some kind of theology about them, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, because you're going to go through something. The Bible says in this world, you're going to suffer tribulation. And God's got you, though, all the way through. So it's not about what's happening around us. It's about what's happening in us. Leader Swindell, he was my very first experience with this. No matter what we did, no matter how much trouble we got in, I watched his son get in trouble. I watched, you know, he had a sick daughter, and I watched a lot of things happen. But all I ever heard was something bad like that happened. All I ever heard was, glory! Thank you, God. Anybody knows him knows what I'm talking about. Glory! Thank you, God. God, I thank you. And although I was a minister, I was a young minister. It was my first church. I had never in all those years been around anybody that had that kind of attitude. And it blew me away. I didn't know how to handle it. And I thank God that over the years, got a chance to get some of that rub off. So how do you do that? How do you get beyond some of the outside to get it on the inside? Number one, don't focus on your problems, but focus on your blessings. You can choose to dwell on what's wrong or what's right. I guarantee you right now, if you're in here and you're having a problem, you're having a problem with somebody, with something, I can guarantee you, you're dwelling on what's wrong. You know, I learned in counseling training that your wife or your husband can only, at the most, supply 80% of your needs. That's it. Usually a lot less than that, but at the most, 80%. And people fight over that mess in 20%. Instead of dwelling on what's right, they dwell on what's wrong. That 20%. And many times people will leave their spouse looking for that 20%. And when they find the 20%, they don't realize that now they've got 80% missing. I can't tell you how many times somebody come up to me and went, man, I blew it. And I remember I went to court for somebody one day, and somebody that I had pastored years before, they had broke up, and they wind up divorcing. And this was the day where the divorce came final, and the wife left the husband. And this happened twice. The wife left the husband, and when I walked up the steps to the courthouse, I saw her, and I said, well, how you doing, sister? I ain't seen you in a long time. I didn't know it was the final day of their divorce to get final. She fell on my shoulder and started weeping almost uncontrollably. And I said, what is it? And to put a long story short, she said she traded the 80% for 20%. And her life is miserable. And she wished that she could stop the proceedings that were happening today, but it didn't stop. Wow. So again, are you focusing on your problems or your blessings? Are you focusing on what's wrong, or are you focusing on what is right? Thankfulness is a choice. A choice. We actively choose. It's a decision that we make regardless of what life throws our way. And again, I just think this is so crazy. This is Bethany's birthday. to enter heaven. Be thankful for what you have. For what you have, you'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you'll never have enough. Whoa. Thankfulness is a discipline. It don't come naturally. Until I met Lee Drew. A lot of people, if they were on the praise team, they would be singing, if they could sing their song on the praise team to God, it would be gloom, despair, and agony on me. Ah! Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Ah! If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Ah! Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And I get around Lee Drew. And it was glory, 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 glory. Praise him, Pastor. Praise him. And I watched God do some very powerful, powerful things. That's how I know they put him and me together in my first pastorate to get me out of that gloomy, spared mindset that I had been around into some powerful, 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 real thankfulness and praise. The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. You know who wrote that? Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot, with her husband and some other people, went to minister to some natives, and the natives killed her husband. And she went back later. And not only did she still minister to those people, the man that killed her husband wound up being one of her strongest converts and helped her win others. Wow. Wow. So now, let's just look. It's not an option for us. It's a virtue. It's not an option for us if we're going to follow Jesus. It's an option. You can be thankful or not. It's not an option. Y'all say it's not an option. It's something that's expected. It's something that God is looking for. It is a true mark of spiritual maturity. It's a sign of godly character. It is a fruit of the Spirit. That's why he said, don't quench the Spirit. It's a reflection of our divine nature. It's a testament to our faith and a witness for our hope. It's a virtue. It's a blessing. It's not something that's burdening, but it's beneficial. You'll find something very powerful about what God will do if you can learn to be thankful. I just want to go over a couple of people. There's a whole bunch of people in the Bible, but it's just two specific that I want to talk about. Number one is Job. Job was the man. Job would have been the Rockefeller of his day. He had everything. Wealth, health, family. Him and God were just like that. Wow. In a matter of days, his wealth plundered, his children were killed, his health was gone. Satan said, now let's see what he's going to do. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Job's thankfulness was not tied to his circumstances, but to his understanding of God's sovereignty. He understood that if he was brought to it, that God was going to take care of him. And he recognized that everything he had came from God. So even in loss, he praised God. Next person. I'm getting close to the end. Paul. That's Paul in his shipwreck. Despite being imprisoned, beaten, shipwrecked, facing numerous other hardships for the sake of the gospel, Paul's letters are filled with expressions of thankfulness. Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. His circumstances was not tied in to his contentment in Christ. Where's your contentment in Christ at? What is it that causes you to want to be thankful? The greatest example. Now we're getting ready to dig. We're going to dig big. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, give thanks. Give thanks. And everything, give thanks. That word is Eucharistio, which is where we get the word Eucharist. Eucharist. This word is used in other passages in the New Testament as well. Jesus used this when he breaks the bread at the Last Supper. It says he took the bread and gave thanks, Eucharisteo, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Luke 22 and 19. Jesus is giving this bread that symbolizes his body, which will be broken for us. He gives thanks to God for what's about to happen to him. If you knew you were facing the cross, do you think you could be thankful to God? Have you been thankful to God for any crosses that you may have had to bear? All of them. Any of them. And Paul himself recounts the Last Supper and said when he given thanks, Eucharistio, he broke it and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:24. Again, Paul's emphasizing the act of thanks as a central part of the Christian practice of commitment. Now, let's do some theology. Not my favorite subject when you start doing the crazy mess, but deep down stuff, I love theology, the study of God. There's Jesus in the garden. Eucharistio is used in the context of sacrifice and self-giving love. It is tied into agape. They go together. They go hand in hand. It gives a deeper understanding of what it means to give thanks in all circumstances. Here Jesus is, he feels the pressure of the cross. So much does he feel the pressure that his blood vessels rupture on the edges of his skin and he begins to sweat drops of blood. You see, this is not superficial, but it's a deep sacrificial thanksgiving. He recognized that God's love and provision for him is even in the midst of hardship and suffering. In the life of Jesus in Gethsemane, facing imminent pain and humiliation, Jesus said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus' thankfulness was not based on his circumstances, but on his submission to the Father's will. Get ready for some rapid fire. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle, transcends the temporal and touches the eternal. It reflects not just our faith, but the very character of God himself. It is the constant, unchanging element that holds everything together, even when our circumstances are changing. Thanksgiving has the power to change not just our perspective, but our very lives. When we cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving, we're not merely changing our attitude, but our hearts and our spirits. We are aligning ourselves with the heart of God, who is the source of all blessings. It's not just about expressing gratitude in words, but living it out in actions and in our relationships. When I opened up the songs for today, and I thank the Lord for using DC to pick these songs, as I looked at the songs, I was reminded of something. You hear about it all the time, so I don't want to ride it to death. But when my daughter and my wife were in the cancer center at the same time for 4 days, the doctor said either one of them or both of them could die, I very strongly remember going, "Naked I came from my father's womb, or from my father's womb, or from my mother's womb, the naked I will return to my father." But there was something else that I had forgot about until I saw it and put it with knowing that this is the day that she died. I walked around to the hospital and sang, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Some of y'all have heard the story and some of you may not have. Horatio Spafford was a devout Christian. In the 1800s, he was a successful lawyer in Chicago. God had blessed his practice. God had blessed him and his wife, his family. He had one son and four daughters. Tragedy struck, and his only son died. As he's picking up the pieces from losing his son, with him and his four daughters and his wife, the Great Chicago Fire happened. When the Great Chicago Fire happened, it burned up his business. Burned up records, didn't have computers. Burned up his records, burned up his business. And as he's trying to rebuild, he wants to take his family to Europe just to get a break. So he gets tickets on a ship. But he has to stay for a day or two to finish up some business, tie up loose ends. So he sends his wife and his four daughters and everything he owns to Europe, planning to join them in a couple of days. Hours later, many hours, he gets a telegram. Awakened by the telegram person, he finds out that the ship that his wife and daughters and everything he owned was rammed by an iron steamer, and it sank. Well over 250, maybe 260 people died because of that calamity. He lost everything he had, including his four daughters. The wire was from his wife, and it says, "Saved alone. What do I do?" So he immediately, as soon as possible, gets on a ship to go to his wife. And he asked the captain to wake him. When they came over the site, for everything he owned other than his wife had been lost. The captain did exactly what he asked. When they got over the place where the wreck had taken place, it goes up on deck. The waves splashing on him. And he starts praying to God. And he wrote these immortal words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Lord, haste today when face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resend, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." And in the second stanza, he ends it with, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Millions of people have been comforted by that song that was written by somebody who thought he couldn't be comforted. And that's the song that I sang as I walked from one room to the other, from one room to the other. Thankfulness is very powerful. It's one thing to thank God everything's going good. It's another thing when everything's falling apart and you can still thank Him. Wouldn't it be cool if we could go to Office Depot or wherever that comes from and get an easy button that says thank you? Every time something bad happened, we'd hit the thank you button. We did a thank you button. We could hit that easy thank you button. Guess what? We got one. How many here want to have a better week this week coming up, no matter what? I want you to try something. Ready? This might be an ouchie, so get ready. If this is an ouchie, it's okay. Instead of complaining, ouch, instead of comparing, well, why is my life not like their life? How come they got this and I got that? How can that person talk like that? Try being thankful. Maybe not for the circumstances, but for the one who is over all circumstances, who is the true giver of peace in the midst of it all. DC, come on up here. So this is our introduction. To thankfulness. Everybody please stand. In the early church, every time the apostles were beaten, they went back to the people and they praised God and they thanked Him. They've been beaten, they've been threatened, they've been killed. And they go back to their people and they would praise God and thank Him. It's been 6 years. But I wear this every day. Because when I start finding myself asking God things about Bethany, why was she sick? Why did this stuff happen? All I can be reminded of is her saying, "Don't worry, Dad, either way, I win." And she won. And I hear her say, "God's got this, Dad. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this." Bethany has been dead 6 years. But every time I find myself counseling somebody, whether it be in the detention center or being somewhere else, if they look on my arm and they see this, either way I win, or God's got this, I go, "Where'd that come from?" And I tell them Bethany's story. And they go, "Can I have one of those?" I said, "Sure." Of course, if they're in a detention center, I'll say, "I'm leaving it for you in your personal belongings." But on the outside, I go and give it to the people immediately. I thought about it today. Even though Bethany's dead, from the remarks and the stuff I've heard, she's still touching people. Not only just over the United States, but all over the place. Because although she died physically, the seeds that she planted are growing strong. And for that, I thank God. Your loved ones may have gone on, and you find it hard to thank God, I want you to start thinking about this. Think about good, not the bad. Think about how they lived, not how they died. And think about the seeds they planted, and they're coming up. You having relationship problems? Quit looking for all the bad and find some good. Quit looking at all the negative and start looking at some positive. What's a relationship worth? What's peace worth? What's God's peace worth? He's the true giver of peace. If we can just thank Him no matter what, it's awesome. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God bless you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, maybe, just maybe, there's some unthankfulness, and you'll know this. Is there some unthankfulness in your heart? Have you found it hard to be thankful when all hell's breaking loose and you're wondering what's going to happen next? And find yourself actually more with ridicule than anything else. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to have that thankful heart and for God to renew it, would you stick that hand up? Lord bless them, Lord bless them, Lord bless them. Maybe you're here and you got a thankful heart, but it's been kind of tough lately. There's been a lot of things going on. And you just need God to lift you up, strengthen you, encourage you, so that you don't fall into the unthankfulness trap and quench the spirit. If I'm talking to you right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, you put that hand up and say, pray for me. I need God to help me to get back that thankful spirit, not to lose it. Not to lose it, not to lose it, no matter what. Bless them, Lord, bless them, bless them, bless them. It's amazing what God can do if we can take it out of our hands and put it in His. We're going to pray together. I want y'all to pray with me. Lord, I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. I also thank You, God, that even when I'm not as thankful as I should be, You're still there. I thank You also, God, that Your resources are unlimited. Help us to renew a thankful spirit in all things. And we thank You for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. And those that want to draw closer, Lord, go ahead. Those that want to draw closer, bless them too. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And afterwards, then I'm going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. Sister Vicki, have you heard anything? Okay. I say the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother Steve's going to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.